As we get into our thoughts tonight, I thought about there was a testimony tonight talking about thanking God for the truth. Sister Jerry Lynn was up thanking God for the truth. There were, you know, and I have many, many times thanked God for the truth. We have songs that are sung. Brother Reggie wrote a song. We have the ultimate truth here in the Church of God. And so as we get started on our thoughts tonight, you know, the Church of God preaches the truth. It says right here on our banner, right here on the gospel trumpeter, it says justification, sanctification, unity, and truth. So tonight we want to take a look at a thought. When Jesus was in Pilate's judgment hall, Pilate comes back in after being delivered all of these accusations against Jesus. Jesus standing there before him in that judgment hall, Pilate asked him a question, but the question that Pilate asked, again, I don't know, I've been thinking on this for a long, long time. What did he ask Jesus? What is truth? And so that's what we want to deal with tonight. What is truth? What is truth? So let's turn to John chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. Let's take a look at this for a little bit tonight. So starting at verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If the kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto Jesus, art thou a king then? Jesus answered him, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Now, there are commentators. There's a little bit of, what do you want to say, dissension, I think, among commentators. But some was thinking when he asked this question, Pilate was actually making fun of Jesus. But the question whether he was making fun of Jesus or not, or whether it was more of a sarcastic question, the question still remains. What is truth? What is truth? And so by the Lord's help, we want to answer, we're looking to answering that question tonight. And so we're living in today. It seems that the truth is anything, or seems to be anything, and it's pretty hard to come by. I think you would all agree with that. We don't know whether our government's telling the truth. We don't know whether the news media is telling us the truth. As Brother Mike says, it's fake news a lot of times. But we don't know whether the news media is telling us the truth. We have people that will tell us stories. We feel sorry for them. And here all of a sudden we find out after a period of time that they're not telling us the truth at all. We believe that we're living in a world that's content in dwelling in darkness, refusing to know the truth. And there are ones who say, you have your truth, I have my truth. I want you to think about that. Seems like that seems to be a prevailing thought these days. You have your truth, I have my truth. Well, that's not true at all. What is the truth is the question that we have tonight. What is the truth? When it comes to God's word and the things of God, there's only one truth. There's only one truth, and that is Jesus Christ. You know, there are a lot of names that are given to Jesus. And one of those, he is the truth. He is the truth. Here, you know, I thought about that. Here the truth is standing right in front of Pilate in Pilate's judgment hall, and he couldn't see it. And you think about today, how many people, the truth is staring them right in the face and they refuse to believe it. They can't see it. They can't see it because they're in such darkness. They allow darkness to prevail in their lives. But the truth, I want everybody to listen to this. The truth supersedes all perceived truths. There's a lot of people that have a lot of perceptions about truth. But it is the truth. It is the word of God that supersedes all perceived truths that the world can conjure up today. And I was reading an article today by Stephen Lawson, and this is what he says about truth. Truth has the final word in all matters, telling us how to worship and how to walk. It tells us how to follow Christ. It is the final arbitrator on any subject, and it is the final judge of every life. Because that's what we're going to be judged by when we meet our Maker, is we're going to be judged by the truth. Going to be judged by the truth. There are ones, you know, I think about as we interact with people, there are ones, you know, think about Brother Lonnie down here. Think about numerous others. There are people today seeking the truth. They're seeking the truth. What is our job? It's our job to seek them out. It's our job to seek them out. You know, I think about, you know, sales, and Brother Mike talks about his job. But, you know, I was in sales for a while, and you hear a lot of people tell you no. I know Brother Mike's probably had a lot of people tell him no. However, does he just throw up his hands and quit? What does he do? He goes and seeks out another customer. They may tell him no. And so don't get discouraged when people tell you no. There's somebody out there seeking for the truth. We just have to find them. We just have to find them. That's our job tonight. And amid all this, we should be optimistic about the future. We should be optimistic about the future. Why? We've read the end of the book. Our pastor preaches Revelation. Brother Borders has written books on Revelation going into detail. So we've read the end of the book. We know how this is going to end. And if we stick to the truth, and we stick to God's word, we're going to have victory. Whether God calls us home, you know, just like he did Sister Nice, or one of these days when that trumpet blasts, it'll be victorious. We will be victorious. If we stick to the truth, we stick to God's word. But what's our job? Remain true and faithful. That's what our job is tonight, to remain true and faithful. So the Greek word for truth in this passage is aletheia. What does it mean? Truth, but not merely truth as spoken, but truth of idea, reality, sincerity, truth in the moral sphere, divine truth revealed to man, and straightforwardness. That's what that means in the Greek. In ancient Greek culture, aletheia was synonymous for reality. I want you to think about that. So truth is reality. It is the opposite of illusion. That's what it was in the Greek culture. It was the opposite of illusion. And what do we have here? We have an enemy that wants to create this illusion of truth. But what is it? It's a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit. So we tell the young people all the time, well, how do we recognize the counter? How do we recognize a counterfeit? Those of you that deal with money, how do you recognize the counterfeit? You got to know what the real thing looks like. Got to know what the real thing looks like. So God help us. God help us to seek out the truth. We need to seek out the truth. If not, we're going to be taken in by an illusion. But truth is reality. Living for Jesus is a reality. Living free from sin is a reality. Being free from guilt is a reality. Being in fellowship with God and his people is a reality. So if we go back to Pilate's original question, what is truth? Truth was standing right there again before him, and he didn't even know it. An opportunity for salvation. I want you to think about this. It was an opportunity for salvation, but he wasted it. He wasted it. And how many today, they have truth standing right in front of them, an opportunity for salvation, and they waste that opportunity. Where was the origin of truth? Back at the very beginning. Back at the very beginning. Let's look at John chapter 1. We know this well. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It says, in the beginning was the Word. You see, that's capitalized, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. But in the Amplified, verse 5 says, the light shines on in darkness, and the darkness did not understand it or overpower it. I want you to think about that. Darkness cannot overpower light. I want you to think about that. So when darkness comes along, or when darkness threatens, what do we have to do? We have to walk in the light. We have to walk in the light. And as we walk in the light, as God shines that spotlight, or when God introduces light, what is our job? We have to walk in that light as God shines it in our pathway. If we don't walk in light and we stop, we're going to be in darkness. We're going to be in darkness. But it says here that darkness did not understand it or overpower it or appropriate it or absorb it. It was unreceptive to it. What'd you think about that? What a wonderful God that we have. That no matter what darkness is trying to work in our lives, there's light. There's light. It will overpower that darkness. Thank God. Thank God for the light tonight. Thank God for the light that shined in my life. And you know, I chose to walk in it. And there's a lot of people in here tonight that chose to walk in the light. And much happier they are because of it. It's the best choice I ever made. You know how to stay out of darkness? Walk in the light. Walk in the light and continue to walk in the light. But you know, there are many, many warnings. There are many, many people that were walking in the light that have made shipwrecks of their lives. Why? Because they stopped walking in it. And that should be a warning to us that as light continues to come along in our pathway, we've got to keep up with light. We've got to keep pace with light. And all of us, as we've said before, all of us have different degrees of understanding. All of us have different degrees of light. And so what is our job? As God shines his light in our life as an individual, we've got to walk in it. We can't measure ourselves by some of the saints that have been around for a long, long time. What do we have to do? We have to measure ourselves by what God wants us to do and the light he's showing and shining on our pathway. That's what we need to do. Let's turn to John and let's go further down in this chapter. Let's go to verse 17. For by the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. How thankful we should be for the day and time in which we live. Why? These people back in the Old Testament were seeking for the day in which we live. Why? Because their sins could not be forgiven. When the sacrifice was made on a yearly basis, that sin was just rolled forward until Christ came. Then Christ took care of sin forever. But those people that lived back underneath the law, they looked forward to this day and how we ought to appreciate the day in which we live. Why? Because we can live free from sin. We have something that they did not have and they could not attain. Why? Because that plan was not in place yet. And I remember a song from many years ago I learned as a young child. And we actually had it on one of our children's CDs. It says, God sent his son that we might be set free. God sent his son that we might be set free. God sent his son that we might be set free. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Where does that come from? Well, let's turn to John chapter 14. Let's take a look at John chapter 14. We're trying to hurry here. John chapter 14, verses 5 through 7. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So Jesus is the way. He's the truth and the life. And the only way to know is to have a relationship with Jesus. Again, Thomas asked the question so many have asked down through the centuries. How can we know the way? Well, again, he gave that in verse 6. I am the way. I'm the truth and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Truth, saints, will set us free. Truth will set us free tonight. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So in order to continue to have freedom in truth, we must continue in the word of Jesus Christ. We must continue in the word of Jesus Christ. Many that once held to the truth now have taken on another gospel. We've seen that happen many, many times over and over and over again. People that once held to the truth have taken on another gospel and made it their truth. They've made it their truth, but it's not the truth. Not the truth. So Paul dealt with the same thing back in his day. Back in Galatians 1, 6, and 7, for the sake of time, we won't read it. But instead of having freedom, they found their way back into bondage. Their truth had become distorted and corrupted. So walking in truth, saints, will keep us from deception. We've got to walk in truth tonight. If we don't continue in the truth, we're open prey for deception. God help us. God help us to walk in the truth. Help us. God help us. You know, as we work with ones in the at the altar, a lot of things that we deal with, even with the young people, I need to pray more. I need to read more. If we don't know what's in this Bible right here, if we don't know what's in the Word of God, we're open prey for deception. And so this is the reason why we need to get into the Word of God. We need to know. But Paul talks in the Corinthian letter about having special gifts. One gift, I believe, is that we should all pray about this, is the gift of discernment. We need to know what is false and what is the truth. And if we're not careful, if we don't have spiritual discernment, we can be taken in. We can be taken in by these winds of doctrine, by these things that are going on. There are voices proclaiming the truth, but are actually far from it. So how do we need, or how we need to hear God's voice loud and clear in this day and time? That's why we need spiritual discernment. It's kind of a two-edged sword. Discernment, we need to have discernment, but you know, it makes us sad. It really does. Kind of a sad thing to have sometimes. Why? Because you see the pitiful condition that people are in. But you know what? It's necessary. It's necessary. But also, you know how truth is propagated to God's people? If we go to Ephesians 4 and 11, let's look at Ephesians 4 and 11 real quick. And you know, this is talked about, I believe Brother Mike mentioned it this morning. But if we go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says here, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? In verse 12, it says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ." And you know how that we know that it's truth? Right there in that last sentence. If it's edifying the body of Christ, it's truth. But I guarantee you one thing, if it's not truth, what does it do? It works to tear down the body of Christ. That's one of the earmarks of truth. It'll edify. It'll build up the church. But if it's working to tear it down, it's everything but the truth. It's false. Having the truth in our lives will constrain or compel us. And Paul went on in that chapter to talk about that. It will compel us to speak in love. You know, there are some that use the truth like a club. Rather than gaining souls for Christ, what happens? They wound and hurt. Paul said in the Amplified, "But speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives, expressing his truth, letting us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ." So how I think about how Christ dealt with us. You know, you think about the ones that come to an altar of prayer. God's not back there, or Christ isn't back there beating us on the head with a club. What's he doing? He's wooing us. He's working with us. He's what do you want to say? He's drawing us. Why? Because he wants us to get help. You know, I think about an animal that maybe has been beat. You raise their hand, and what do? They want to flinch. Well, the same thing it is with people. If they get beat up on enough, they're going to flinch. They're going to shy away. That's not God. That's not the way God works. I want you to think how he dealt with the woman at the well. I want you to think about how he dealt with the woman caught in adultery. Again, how he dealt with us when we were in sin. Or how he deals with us when we're in the wrong. You know, I've spoken to this before. I know that maybe when I misspoke to my wife, maybe I misspoke to my children or spoke a little bit harshly. I'd go, maybe out to the garage, I'd go out in the yard, and it wasn't very long, and God'd start speaking to me. You know, should have said that in a different way. Should have spoke in a little bit different way. Maybe should have handled that in a different way. Then it's not long. Gotta go back, say we're sorry. I'm sorry, I should not have said it that way. Should have not have handled it that way. But you know, God didn't beat me on the head with a club. He didn't beat me on the head with a club. But he worked with me. He showed me where I was wrong and how I should have handled it in the first place. We serve a wonderful God. We serve a wonderful God tonight. Should we not follow his example when we're dealing with a brother or sister in Christ? When we're dealing with our children? When we're dealing with our family members? Or those we work or interact with on a daily basis? Some may say, well, I spoke the truth and I'll let them have it. Well, yeah, you spoke the truth all right. But I believe that the Bible tells us to speak the truth in what? Love. There's the key. Speaking the truth in love. Some may say, well, I spoke the truth. I let them have it. But again, was it done in love? Did we follow the example of Christ? You know, we can be stern sometimes in dealing with certain situations, but it can still be done in love. It can still be done in love. When we've had to deal with our children, we've had to be stern. But we still let them know we love them. We still let them know that we love them. Second John 1 and 4 says, I rejoiced greatly that I found my children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. 3 John 1 and 3 says, for I rejoiced greatly that the brethren came and testified to the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And so again, the answer to Pilate's question this evening is, whether he was really seeking it or not, the truth is Jesus Christ and his word tonight. That's the truth. That's the truth. And if anybody tries to tell you anything differently, it's false. It's a counterfeit. So the truth is tonight is Jesus Christ. Is there anyone here tonight that is seeking the truth? Where can it be found? It could be found in Christ. And maybe there's one tonight that has lost their appreciation for the truth. You know, my mind goes to the song, My Surrender. And it says here in verse 4, it says, I have found a good home in the fold of my Lord, where his sanctified children all dwell. I am glad that I heard the truth of his word. And now with my soul, all is well. And if we are following the truth, we're living the truth, we're loving the truth, all with our soul, can be well tonight. And so, in closing, do you have the truth working and active in your life? Do you live the truth? Do you love the truth? Do you have a great appreciation for the truth? I tell you what, if we don't, we're going to lose it. We'll lose it. And I know we've already had an altar call tonight, but I think at least we ought to sing one verse. And if someone tonight has a need, Maybe you've lost your appreciation for the truth. Or maybe all is not well with your soul tonight. It can be. It can be.